The scripture for today's message is Ephesians chapters 3, verses 18 through 19. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, at the little seminar and summer retreat, Senior Pastor explained how great the love of our Father God is. He showed the depth of our Father God. When you remember the summer retreat, you will feel the great love of Father God again. For example, there is a student who attended the summer retreat for the first time. When he felt a cold breeze, he said, "There must be heaven." And there are some students who were not afraid of bugs and insects and such, even dragonflies, but they didn't call dragonflies to sit on their bodies, but when dragonflies fell on their bodies and stayed a long time, they enjoyed it. And so many people were healed of their disease, and that mute were healed, and we could feel the cool breeze. And our Father God showed so much, so many things with His great love. Particularly when love and justice are harmonized in you, you can fulfill the perfect and deep love. We learned this through the leaders' conference. After all, justice is very important as it makes spiritual love true and perfect. However, when I counseled with students, I found many students who felt fear about God because they misunderstood that this justice was quite distinct from love. For example, they think in a negative way that justice is something makes you punished when you do something wrong, something cold, heartlessness, hard and unpleasant. I felt sorry to see those students who felt God as a fearful one who doesn't forgive but punishes and judges when we do something wrong. Do you think He is? Our God is God of love who forgives sins and transgressions. Psalm 103, and it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness." Jesus also taught us to forgive a brother who sinned 70 times 7, that is completely. Of course, God makes us pay for our sins according to justice, and sometimes He allows refinements when His children have something in lack. It is because God is God of justice. Hosea 9:9, and the latter part says, "He will remember their iniquity, He will punish their sins." And in 1 John 5:16, it says, "There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this." Also, Isaiah 30:18, it says, "For the Lord is a God of justice." Justice is the rules or standards set by God. God doesn't break it because He made it, but He keeps it thoroughly. Even in the world, if people with the authority of enforcing the law, such as the director of a public prosecutor's office or chief justice of the Supreme Court, exempt their son or people close to them from punishment, people criticize them. People don't say, "He loves his son so much," but criticize him, saying, "He screw up his son. It's so obvious with how his son becomes in the future." Our God gives true love to His children differently from worldly people. Also, he is upright. Of course, we know this fact well by knowledge, and we also understand it. Moreover, mommy members who are armed with the spiritual knowledge know this fact very well. But the problem is that when you receive any punishment or refinement to yourself, you cannot easily feel the love of Father God, you know. It's more difficult for those who don't know the truth or who have weak faith to feel God's love when they receive punishment or refinements because of their sins. They may misunderstand or feel mistreated, thinking, God hates me, God is inattentive, or I'm afraid of God. But our God is love itself. Not only when His children dwell in the truth, but also when they are punished from their sins, Father God loves them with the heart of a father. He does so as it says in Hebrews 12:6, for those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines and He scourges every son who He receives. Today, among our shepherd's lectures on Genesis, let's look into the part how Joseph met his brothers after 22 years as the prime minister of Egypt. I hope you can feel the ardent love of God through this. It's because it shows the deep love of God very well. And then I will explain about some reasons why we cannot feel Father God's ardent love sometimes. Through this message, I hope you understand. You may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and particularly depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, as it says in Ephesians 3:18 through 19. And I pray in the name of the Lord that you may take New Jerusalem by force in spirit fullness and happily, no matter when you are prosperous or in trials of faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the book of Genesis records how the Israelites formed through Abraham, father of faith, Isaac, Jacob, and their sons. Jacob had 12 sons, and he favored the 11th son Joseph among them in especial. Joseph told his father on his brothers and made them be rebuked by father. He also boasted of what his brothers would hate. So his brothers felt uneasy more and more. One day, Joseph said to his brothers, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brother said, "Are you actually going to reign over us?" So they hated him even more. But this thoughtless Joseph told his brothers another dream. This time he said that the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to him. It's definitely his brother's fault to envy and hate Joseph, but this little Joseph also laid up for himself. Eventually, Joseph's brothers did a great evil to Joseph. They sold him as a slave to a foreign country, secretly from their father. Joseph grew up in love, but in a day, he became a slave in Egypt. He was even falsely accused and was put into jail. Even though Joseph went through so many hardships, he didn't grudge against his brothers nor fall in despair. He looked back upon himself to find his fault, and he acted uprightly and depended on God only. So he received a great blessing after all. He could interpret the Pharaoh's dream by God's wisdom. Moreover, he gave a solution about the seven-year-long great famine that would confront the land of Egypt. So He became a star in Egypt. Pharaoh's dream couldn't be interpreted by many people of knowledge in Egypt, but he interpreted and he became a man of authority of the Pharaoh. The famine in the land of Egypt for 7 years reached the land of Canaan, where Jacob's family lived. Because Egypt had enough food prepared for famine, Joseph's family came to Egypt to buy food for their family, and they came before Joseph, the prime minister. I mean, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt. It had been 22 years since Joseph was sold to the land of Egypt. Joseph recognized his 10 brothers right away, but his brothers couldn't. It's because they could never imagine that their brother, whom they sold as a slave, would have become a prime minister of Egypt. As it's been 22 years, his face and voice changed. Also, he was in the costume of Egypt, so they couldn't recognize Joseph. What did you do if you are in Joseph's shoes? You're a man of authority. You have been through so many hardships so far because of them. So would you punish them? It's true that they have to pay about their sin, that they sold their own brother. Or because you know the holiness gospel, would you forgive all their sins in the past and just embrace them and catch up? Actually, Joseph didn't hate or blame them, but he missed them a lot. It's because Joseph fulfilled a heart of deep goodness and love through the refinement for many years. He came to understand his brothers. My dad favored me a half-blood. I told dad on them. I boasted of myself childishly. I must not look lovely to them. But spiritual love is not just forgiving and covering up unconditionally. You forgive them, but you have to help them to break the wall of sin. Then how must he do? Brothers, I'm Joseph, whom you sold as a slave. You committed such a great sin, but I'll forgive you if you repent. Is this what he must say? If he did, his brothers will be frightened and ask for forgiveness to him. But it could not be the true repentance from the heart. If you listen to the lectures on Genesis, you will know this well. By the wisdom from God, Joseph made a chance for them to repent. Namely, he practiced the perfect love that bears life by the harmony of justice and love. Let's look into how he acted. I was so grateful to hear this kind of deep spiritual message about this love through the shepherd. Let's look into how Joseph acted. Joseph disguised himself to them and spoke to them harshly. And he drove them, saying, "You are spies who came to look at Egypt." He put them in jail for 3 days. And when he sent them back, he took Simeon from them hostage. That is, because they said there were 11 brothers and the youngest brother, Benjamin, was with their father. If they were not spies truly, they must bring that Benjamin to him. His brothers suffered in heart a lot. They had to be trembled in fear, and they felt terrible when they came back leaving Simeon behind. After their father Jacob heard the story, he insisted he would never send Benjamin. He had already lost Joseph and Simeon. He couldn't lose Benjamin again. Only when they take Benjamin, they can get food and save the family, and they can save Simeon who was taken hostage. After all, the brothers made oath to protect Benjamin and took him. But now, and they went to Egypt with Benjamin. But now, Benjamin, with Joseph, treated them very plentifully. But now, Benjamin was falsely accused of a thief, and he was in danger of becoming a slave in Egypt. This was also said by Joseph. He put the silver cup that he liked in the sack of Benjamin. And when they searched the cup, it was found in Benjamin's sack. So his brothers couldn't know what to do. They couldn't leave Benjamin to become a slave. Then their old father Jacob would die. Joseph's brothers, who were at the end of the rope by his plan, and they received many refinements in heart. However, they didn't just suffer and get distressed, but through this procedure, Jacob's family had a big change. Then what happened to them? First, they came to truly repent. When Joseph drove them as spies, they remembered their fault that they had concealed. Genesis 42:21 says, "Then they said to one another, 'Truly we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore this distress has come upon us.'" Although Joseph was a half-brother, they tried to kill their flesh and blood, and after all, they sold him to the foreign land. They lied to their father Jacob that a wild beast had torn him to pieces and devoured. Even though they committed such a grave sin, they couldn't get a chance to repent. They must have felt a pang of conscience at first, but it became dim and they forgot. That is, they were living covering up it up while they had a world of sin. But in the refinement where they were in threat of life, they remembered their sin and they came to repent in a humble manner. If Jacob's sons were remained with such a big wall of sin, God couldn't fulfill the providence to make his family a great nation. Even if he wanted to bless them, the enemy devil and Satan must have continued to accuse them. Therefore, God managed Joseph to give refinements to them so that they could truly repent and break this world of sin. Secondly, Jacob's family became care for each other through this refinement, and they changed to become a true family. Jacob still didn't trust his sons, and he favored Benjamin instead of Joseph. His sons didn't like it, and they couldn't accord with each other. Because they were born from four different mothers. But while things were proceeding as Joseph planned, they behaved differently from before. For example, in case of the first son, Reuben, he had a sense of responsibility because he is the first son before it, but he lacked in showing his leadership or being responsible to the end. But at the situation when they had to bring Benjamin to Egypt, Reuben expressed his determined will that he would take the responsibility. That is, he persuaded his father, saying that his father might kill his two sons if he couldn't bring Benjamin back. He even risked over his two sons' lives. Also, if other brothers didn't change, they must have not understood Jacob when he didn't want to send Benjamin, and they must have complained. But now, because they understood their father's heart, they tried to persuade him and asked him to bring Benjamin to Egypt. In a humble manner. Also, Judah showed more clearly how he wanted to sacrifice himself for his family. When Benjamin was accused of stealing, he was so worried about his father Jacob, and he pleaded to become a slave to Joseph from Benjamin. Because Judah was married and had children, it was not an easy decision. But he came forward because he was truly worried and caring about his father Jacob. Also, he had a good heart of worrying about his brother Benjamin. What his brothers did made Joseph think it's done and reveal himself decisively. Our Father God must be pleased to see the change of the brothers of Joseph. Joseph said, "I am Joseph," and wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Joseph treated his brothers harshly, not from any ill feelings or vengeful thought. From Joseph's words, who consoled his brothers, revealing himself, we can see Joseph's love more clearly. Genesis 45 verse 5 says, "Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here before you to preserve life." Genesis 45:7 says, "God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance." Joseph realized that God, who knew the future, allowed him to become the prime minister in Egypt in his providence to make Israel. In that procedure, although his brothers acted evil, he rather consoled his brothers to not to worry, because he would forgive everything although they acted evil. Joseph had this love, so he has long wanted to embrace his brother, but he overcame the heart and treated them harshly by his plan. How hard it would be for him. Nevertheless, the reason why he endured and was patient is that he knew that they could be blessed to become the ancient of 12 tribes of Israel only after they repent from their heart. We can feel this heart through Joseph, while we can feel the heart of our Father God through Joseph. While Joseph was treating his brothers harshly, it was hard for him to hide his affections and love. God did a similar work on this church. It is the time of forgiveness on December 25th, 2010, and the period of suspension until March 31st, 2013. At the time, we had to write down every single sin in the past on our letters of repentance. And we had to see the shepherd's tears, and we had to hear his words of the Lord. While he in the great pains and sufferings. Some individuals had to receive the nemesis from our sins and transgressions. At the time, you might have felt fear and far about the shepherd. But if we didn't have such time of repenting, breaking the word of sin and erasing the traces of sin, we will not have this flow of Holy Spirit. We would never be able to even dream about entering New Jerusalem. Moreover, the place between the first and second floors in the castle of the shepherd. One more thing we have to know is the fact that Father God and the Lord endured such extreme pain and suffering more than ourselves who had sinned. Also, our shepherd delivered that ardent love of Father God and the Lord to us with the sacrifice of His whole body throughout that time. As we get feel from Joseph, our God is love. Even when God does something according to justice, He never has any personal feeling. However, what we have to look carefully is that even though Joseph's heart for his brothers was burning like this, they couldn't feel this love because of their fear. When their father Jacob died, they worried if Joseph would pay them back for their sin. So they said to Joseph like this. Genesis 50:16-17 says, So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, Your father charged before he died, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did wrong. Now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. The Bible says Joseph wept when they spoke to them. Can you understand Joseph's heart? He had a great pity on his brothers who couldn't understand his heart but fear him. His brothers even fell down before him and said, Behold, we are your servants. Then Joseph comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. He promised to take care of them and their families with love. Joseph wanted to let them know how much he loved and cared for them, but his brothers couldn't understand his heart of such deep goodness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our understanding and feeling the depth of love of God are different respectively. God gave His only Son to be punished instead of us in order to prove that He loves us utmostly and He wants to forgive us. Romans 5:8 says, But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you are a sinner, you cannot believe that the Lord had died for you, but you feel God as a fearful Lord of judgment. There must be various reasons, but when I tell you the three big reasons, I hope you check if any of these apply to yourself. The reason why you feel God as the fearful Lord of judgment is, firstly, you don't want to leave sins. Hebrews 10:26-27 say, For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. if you keep committing sins, although you know you have to return, only a terrifying expectation of judgment will remain, and you cannot feel the love of God. But even at this time, if you decide to return and if you repent, God works on you so that you can feel His utmost love. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That is, if you have a contrite heart about your sin and if you try to return by all means, God will not despise it, but accepts it. Rather, He has mercy on you and comforts you so that you can be strengthened to return. Our Lord loved even tax collectors who exploited the people and prostitutes who was treated with contempt most when they repented when came before Him. What is important is your will to return and your life after return. Our God said, if you return, He will not even remember our sins in the past. Psalm 103:8-8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, and so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Amen." A Sunday school teacher gave money to me so that I can give any student who needed allowance. I made up my mind that I'd give that money to one of the students I met during that day. That day, a brother approached me and said, "Principal, someone gave me a cigarette and it takes time to get rid of it. But I'm worried if I cannot help but smoke while I'm having it. Can I leave it to you?" You may think, how can he not be patient just for a little while? But to that brother, it was a great and desperate effort. Because he received much grace from Father God through summer retreat, because he loved the Father God and he knew how much our shepherd treasures him, he wanted to quit. But because his old habit was so strong, he was struggling with all his strength. I thought he was commendable and I was grateful. So I gave that money to him. I felt like it was the allowance prepared for the brother, prepared by the Father. How pleased our Father God would be when He saw the children who tried hard to live in the truth like this. I felt that Father God wanted to express His joy and love for him in such a way, and I was so touched. Likewise, Father God is looking at you, waiting for you, and enduring for all of you with His heart. Please do not forget this fact. The reason why He counts up sins or allows punishment sometimes is because He wants to let us understand how bad the sins are and not to return to sin again by engraving it deep in our heart. So this is also love. Therefore, if you feel that God is a fearful one who punishes sinners and judges them to throw them into hell, please check yourself if you are going to the west persistently while God says to go to the east. If you are doing so, I ask in the name of our Lord that you may repent quickly and return to the arms of the Lord so that you can feel the ardent love of God now. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the reason why you feel God as a fearful God of judgment is, secondly, that you are prone to be biased to justice than love from your character. Although you didn't commit any big sin or nor live against the word of God, your personal character affects you on feeling the love of God. For example, we have so-called first son complex in Korea. First sons in a Confucian and patriarchal family always live with burdens such as, I should take responsibility of my family. I have to content my family's expectation. Or I should not disappoint my parents. I have to take care of my younger brothers and sisters. People of this inclination tend to keep the commandments and perform their duty from a sense of obligation, not from love for God as children of God. So if they cannot practice the word perfectly, they always feel nervous. In performing duties, if they don't bear the fruit they expected, they feel oppressed. They think, will God love such a deficient person like me? Namely, because they have a framework that they must do it to a certain extent, they cannot feel God's love easily. Perfectionists, those who are too much sincere, or those who are goal-directed, are also prone to be biased to justice. These people are prone to point out and rebuke others rather than understanding and waiting for them because they look at them with such frameworks too. Many youngest ones in a family have a contrasting tendency because they are the youngest in the family, they are loved most, and they don't have much burden to do well. So, although they made a mistake or failed to do something, they easily stand up again thinking, I can do it well next time. Because they grew up in much love, they don't get easily intimidated. They believe the love of God, thinking, although I'm not perfect yet, Father God loves me. However, while they have this good point, they also have things to be alert. Because people of this character are sometimes too positive, they cannot discover themselves or they don't develop even if they realize. Even after committing a grave sin, they cannot think it serious. In this case, you cannot feel the love of God more than some extent either. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. If you settle for the present, it's hard to love God more or seek Him more earnestly so that you can go into a deeper level of love. Therefore, if you want to feel the deep love of God, you have to harmonize these two characters. Of course, this kind of character is formed not only by your position and siblings, but also by other various conditions such as your parents' character and growth environment. Therefore, you have to pray to understand yourself deeply so that you can change your character to feel much love of God. If you pray to God who knows our frame and is mindful that we are but dust, our attentive Holy Spirit will let you know how you are formed. He will help you realize what to change. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may receive this help from the Holy Spirit so that you can meet and experience God of love and love Him more day by day. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the reason why you feel God as a fearful Lord who judges is, thirdly, that you didn't experience deep love much. Here, deep love means the love that is harmonized well with justice and gives spiritual life to people. If it's just a cherish and praise sermon, it may look good by all appearances, but actually it is low level of love. There is a story about a death row convict who asked his mother, who shed tears for him, "Why didn't you rebuke me when I did wrong?" If you don't teach your children that their behavior was not right when they did wrong, they cannot grow up to be loved. Rather, they may give harm to others after they grow up. Because our Father God loves His children so much, He doesn't just watch when His children did something wrong in order to give them eternal life in heaven and moreover to lead them to His throne. He makes them realize in various ways and tries to lead them to the right path. However, some people do not know that pointing out a rebuke is from deep love because they didn't receive such deep love. For example, some parents misunderstand that it is love to forgive their children's fault and cover it up, because they didn't know the Word of God in a balanced way. So they raised their children without admonishing them even once. So their children do not know it is also part of love if their parents, the parents rebuke or flog them sometimes. Also, some parents diligently admonish their children because of the desire to raise them rightly by spiritual love, not by fleshly affection. Yet, some children go astray. When you look into some such cases carefully, most of the parents admonish their children not from love and mildness, but from their own emotion and self-righteousness. "You're foolish. You don't know how to do it. I knew you would do that again. You give me a hard time." Although they don't say this outwardly, they may feel it pathetic or heavy about their children. Or they get angry from their hurt or impatience and rebuke their children. Then they don't repent their fault, but rather have ill feelings against their parents. They may feel hurt or lose confidence. They hate to be pointed out or rebuked at school or Sunday school and church too. They don't feel admonition as love, but think it hating and disregarding them. They feel it very hard. Parents raised them by admonition because they love their children, but children cannot feel it so. Likewise, because they didn't receive love in the right way, when preachers point out sins or say about what will change, they feel distressed and hated. After all, if you want to love someone deeply by helping him realize his fault, you have to fill your heart with goodness and love without any evil. From an educational channel, I saw that many noblemen in our country had left their sons to the experienced grandfather for discipline. The secret of the experienced was love. Father's love for their children is special, but grandfather's love for their grandsons is more special. Young fathers are prone to discipline their sons about their wrong behaviors from their own emotion, but grandfathers cannot flock such loving grandsons all the time. Even if they flock them, it would be less strong than flocked by the young fathers. Also, grandfathers have affections and emotions so that they shed tears on their grandsons' calves that they flogged, who fell asleep while crying. After they discipline, they hold him on their lap and give special food such as candies to him. Then grandsons do not lose heart but grow up uprightly, although they were sternly disciplined. Our shepherd also was very strict when he disciplined his children, but he always did it with love. He never did it from emotion or hot temper. If they did something wrong, he explained what was wrong attentively and let them decide how many times they would be flogged by themselves. Also, after discipline, he held a snack party for them and comforted them. He disciplined them thoroughly when they were out of the truth, but he was an attentive father who played with them together at ordinary times. Therefore, his children could feel his love even when they were rebuked, and they thought it was because he loved them. One of our students told me this story. Although she's been attending church since she was little, she couldn't feel the love of God. Of course, because she still liked the world, it was difficult to live by the word, and she couldn't feel the love of God. She knew so well that she must not take the worldly things, but because she couldn't feel the vanity of the flesh yet, it was hard to live for her to live by the word. But we are becoming known the vanity of the flesh. However, people around her also influenced that she couldn't feel God's love. Misunderstanding between her mother and her was one of them. She felt that her mother loved the church and all people in the church except her. For example, if she said, "I bought something to eat as I was so hungry on Sunday," then she didn't care why she couldn't have meal. But she only rebuked her because buying something on the Lord's Day. Of course, she had to teach her daughter rightly. It is the true love. But before she said that, she must have cared about her so that her daughter felt her love. That is because people around her looked herself only by the measure of justice. While she was lacking love, she came to misunderstand God too. But this sister wanted to love God. Meanwhile, one day she was struggling to feel God's love. She saw a vision and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. She was walking on some cold wilderness. Suddenly, a warm breeze blew from somewhere. So she tried to go there. It's so good. But at the time, someone like God or our shepherd blocked her in a harsh voice and said she must not go there ever. So she looked over there and saw a fire pit where fire was blazing to melt anything. Only after seeing that vision, she realized why God sometimes works on us, not by love, but by justice, and why our shepherd talked sternly about sins. Dear brothers and sisters, in this generation, we cannot feel the deep love and goodness. We cannot easily find such goodness and love. So, but even if we couldn't receive deep love that is harmonized with justice from our parents or people around us, we are receiving such love from our shepherd. Looking at him, we can feel the love of God who leads his children by love and justice so that they will not go to the way of sin and death. Our shepherd said, he'd never abandoned or driven out or turned his face away from anyone until now. Even if he seemed to turn his face away for some moments, it was to let the soul turn from sin. The Bible also says to consider those who don't repent as a Gentile. In Matthew 18:15-17 says, Jesus also says, if the one who committed a sin doesn't listen to anyone or church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. However, because our shepherd knows that this generation is full of sins and evil, and people cannot easily overcome the temptations of sins with weak faith, he's been asking for the way to save the souls. Because he considers every member of this church as his own sons and daughters, he cannot let go of them from his hands. So instead of abandoning members, he prayed to take the wages of sins for us, and he even received the sword of punishment for us. He showed us that sin is so bad and it leads us to death. It is because he wanted us to return from sins without being sick or meeting disasters. Our shepherd wanted us to get us out of sins and evil. Nevertheless, evil people misunderstood him as a fearful man. Is there anyone else like our shepherd who proclaims about sin and righteousness and judgment even while he was misunderstood and hated by many people in this generation? No. He doesn't want his flock to have a hard time. He wants to proclaim only words of blessings. He shed a lot of tears for many years with such heart. Just like Joseph, who laughed and wept as he couldn't bear tears at moments when, even while he treated his brothers harshly and came back as if he was okay. And like a grandfather who stroked his grandson's calves after he whipped him, our shepherd must have felt the same. Now we come to understand him little by little. Thanks to this deep love, we became pastors, true pastors, and members like wheat who choose goodness by our free will, even in this generation full of temptations of sins. After all, by the hands of our Father, the Potter, with such deep love, we are becoming beautiful vessels who will enter New Jerusalem and who will proclaim the gospel of the Lord to the world and fulfill the grand sanctuary to welcome the Lord at the same time. Therefore, God sometimes applies more strict justice to us. Whenever you feel your measure to fulfill as a holy burden, please try to feel the heart of Father God who is leading us with more concerns. I earnestly hope that we can overcome again and again so that we can resemble God like Joseph did and deliver the deep love to the souls who don't know God's love yet. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me conclude the message. I'll finish this sermon after telling you my experience that I felt Father God's earnest love in His grace and through the spiritual space opened by the shepherd. It was the first day of the special Daniel prayer meeting last year. We received the prayer of the shepherd on the first day, right? I received the holy fire on this day, and I could pray in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I could hear Father God's ardent pealing, sounding like a song of lamentation. Filled with grief, Father God was asking Moses, while watching the people who were dying because they complained, stood against Moses, committed adultery with Gentile women, and committed their own sins at the time of the Exodus. Please stop my judgment. Please stop me so that I would not destroy my people. He asked him, he even pleaded with Moses. You will understand better if you think the fact that Jeremiah recorded the songs of lamentations to express the heart of God who grieved for his people who were to be punished. It is so. Judgment is done according to justice He made first. But Father God never wants to destroy us. That's why He has been setting the righteous who could mediate so that His children could turn from sins. After all, He even sent our Lord and let Him pay for our sins. I could realize such deep love once again through this. Man easily misunderstands God as a cold and fearful one who judges quickly. But the judgment does not just come upon us once. God allows it because He cannot avoid it, even after He's been impatient and waiting for us so many years again and again. In 2 Kings 13:23, when sons of Israel were stained with the other worshipping, it says, But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and turned to them because of His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them or cast them from His presence until now. Father God will fulfill the word at this end time, awaken this people, fulfill the grand sanctuary and be glorified even because He remembered the promise He has given to our shepherd. Until every one of us comes into Holy Spirit and enters New Jerusalem, He will give them many chances. He will give us many chances and He will never give up on us. Therefore, I hope you may always believe the deep love of God who watches us with the eyes of love and may feel it in your deep heart, not only when you are prosperous, but also when you are in refinements from your shortcoming sins and transgressions. Then, you can go even the narrow and rough way happily and fulfill the perfectness quickly so that you can become partakers of the glory prepared. I pray that all of us may become like this in the name of our Lord. Let's pray thinking over the message. Thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's receive the prayer of Senior Pastor. Please lay your hands on your sick part or on your chest for your desiring heart. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scourge all their primal and incurable diseases with fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart and lung, and women's disease, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated disc, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let no scar remain. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, fools, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problem. With the fiery words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host and angels and your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met, experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.